Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, March 26th, 2026. This is the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen Finance and Public Safety Committee meeting. We will call this meeting to order at 6:10 p.m. Can we please rise for the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can we have the roll call, please?
Ms. Falchoni Smith.
Here.
Mr. Kritika.
Present.
Ms. Widomski.
Here.
Record should reflect all three members are present. You have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I have one. We're going to move adjournment to number 11. And at number 10, we are going to have the resolution to prohibit the operation of Zaza Smoke Shop at 49 Pershing Drive, Derby, Connecticut, pursuant to Connecticut General Statute 21A-420C. And I'll make that in the form of a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you. Number five, public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Third and final, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Okay, with that, public portion is closed. Number six, Shared Services Committee update, discussion only on current status. Mr. Garofalo?
Good evening, Mark Garofalo, town clerk and member of this Shared Services Committee. Just to update the board, the committee has met I think three times, and we have put together the beginning stages of the conversation, starting with the Human Resources Department and a shared service between the Board of Ed and the city. Several options were discussed over the course of the meetings that we did have, and we wanted to get the input of the Board of Education and the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen. So some of the key points is to be sure that the both boards would be, both boards meaning the Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen and the Board of Education, would be part of the both the hiring and, if it happened, in the dismissal of the person in the position. So everything would be done jointly. And so we've come up with concepts. So we wanted to kind of just take the temperature of the boards to make sure that everybody was on the same page. So, you know, it would be to have both boards be involved in that and then have the position report both to the mayor and to the superintendent of schools jointly and to work, you know, in conjunction with the both the city and the Board of Education. And there were some other things, you know, we're kind of like trying to comb it through to have like a formal, and we didn't want to formalize it till we took everybody's point, but like to kind of get like a full checklist of things. But we wanted to just be sure to get it before you folks to make sure that if there were any thoughts or concerns or ideas about the basic premise of what the person would be doing, then we would, you know, take that as advice and, you know, before we tried to, you know, finalize the discussion. In addition, it was felt that, you know, it would, the next phase of it would be to talk about the finance part of it, the finance director slash school business manager and the staffing in there. And so there was probably some adjustment and some kind of a cohesive dialogue, putting that HR part position as part of like that overall structure there. We did look at different kinds of job descriptions and entailing, you know, taking into consideration the specific needs that the school district has and the other issues of the city as well. So that's kind of like the overview. Mr. Kurtick is also on the committee, as well as Mr. Hyder from the Board of Aldermen. So I don't know if there was anything else that I missed.
No, I think you spoke about everything that we're trying to do. And the major thing is we're trying to save the city money, you know, by if we are able to combine these positions here. Hopefully, sooner than later, we could get through this. You know, there's really no timeline, but I think we're looking hopefully by end of the summer or September.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there was something
and
like
it
that.
could be, you know, like kind of have it wrapped up before summer, you
Right.
know, like this part of it. And then, you know, because the school year, you know, just kind of coinciding with that kind of stuff and to kind of keep some tension on it to keep it going. Because, you know, the financial part of it right now, there's a temporary person at the Board of Ed doing the HR, and there's also a temporary school business manager as well. So they're kind of waiting to see where this whole process goes. But the idea is to kind of coordinate it. And, you know, the beginning of the fiscal year is probably something to shoot for to try to make sure that we get it squared away, and certainly then to be in place for the settled in for the beginning of the school year too. So does anybody have any questions at this point?
So you're looking to start at the beginning of 2026 school year or 2027?
26. Yeah, I mean it's per I mean the HR is really in right now the city has one person that does it, and the Board of Ed had one person that did it. So it's not like multiple positions. The other one, you know, there's collective bargaining, you know, for the finance part, there's collective bargaining agreements, there's more moving parts, but we felt, you know, this made sense to address this first, as it is kind of like, because there are fewer moving parts, it made sense to kind of let's try to work on this one, and you know, kind of then that should hopefully make the next process a little smoother. But the idea is like Mr. Kurtica said, to save money and to make it more efficient in terms of combining that stuff, because many of the people who are in the Board of Education, the paraprofessionals, the nurses, they're in the city's pension, and some are in the collective bargaining units that are impacted by the city. So what it's to, really to your pleasure, if you not to take action on this, but if you want to include this for the full board to get input from the full board members as well, that's to your discretion, or tonight, or if you decide before the April 9th meeting. Any other questions? Hearing none, thank you so much.
Thank you. Number seven, 2024-2025 audit status update and discussion. Mr. Hall.
Evening, everyone. Brian Hall, Finance Director, Derby. So the audit is complete. It's been filed with the state. I was talking with town clerk a little bit about whether he'd received it yet. We'll try to get it to him from our auditor, hopefully Monday. We're having a meeting on Monday to just do kind of a little bit of a postmortem, make sure we're all aligned, get all the final adjustments in for our system so we can kick off the new year. I think you'll all be pleasantly happy with all of the results. I do expect that based on, you know, there is still going to be one finding related to the Board of Ed, but I do believe that it was purposeful because there has been this historical issue with the Board of Ed grants and operating expense and the commingling, and what it's done is it has created some issues whereby the state feels that the Board of Ed has funds that they need to return. I think this finding really will help support the fact that it was just let's say some issues with their books and the reporting, and that the money was spent and that we don't need to return it. So anyway, the point being, it's not necessarily a bad finding. It should actually help us try to not have to give back some of the grant money that the Board of Ed got. It was, you know, over $300,000, so it's not a small number. And I expect that MFAC will look very favorably upon it, and hopefully we will be out of MFAC very shortly. So all really good news on that front. The auditor will present to the boat committee, Probably at the end of April. You know, we need to kind of get through the budget. He needs to get through tax season, and then he'll give a presentation about it at that point. But all the books and materials, I'll have some in my office on Monday if anybody needs any. I think the town clerk was going to print some out and send them around. So hopefully everybody will have copies by next week. Anything else specifically you want to talk about related to the audit?
So when was the submission?
The submission was, I believe, last week.
Last week. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And in regards to MFAC, I know soon we can get out of there. Are there specific parameters that MFAC has communicated to you and the city to finally be released? I mean, I can't wait for the day, and I
Yeah.
believe that it will happen.
I think the only thing that they could possibly say, it'll be that one finding, but hopefully, like I said, when we explain to them, it's been there, it's a known issue, we're actually going to leverage this to help the city try to, like I said, not have to send hundreds of thousands of dollars back to the state. I think they'll understand it better and be more open to it. I also believe that there are a lot more communities that unfortunately have fallen on tough times and really require their attention. And certainly over the last few meetings, really, they've had nothing but positive feedback for us. They asked for a couple things. We delivered those things and they were very happy. So, I think all signs point to, at the next meeting, I don't know if it'll happen exactly the next meeting, but the next meeting's in person and the mayor and I will certainly be lobbying heavily for, if not in that meeting, that by the next meeting for them to release us from our obligations.
And then my only other comment is if the auditor is going to come to a presentation, I would love to see a combined boat Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen meeting to have that presented to both boards, because I'm sure that this board would appreciate hearing it, because we've been, so heavily involved with audit issues over the years.
Sure, of course. I will try to make that happen.
Thank you, Brian. And how is the current audit coming along?
Well, there isn't one yet, right? Believe it or not, we actually submitted this, earlier than ever, and
Yes, definitely.
we still have through June before we have to even start thinking about it. So I have a couple months
Yeah,
to
I'm so
focus
not
on.
used to this.
Exactly. Usually it's you immediately finish one and you're well on your way to the other. But no, in this case, we've got a couple months, which is good because there's a lot of things going on in the city with the referendum and all the RFPs that need to get done. And, it's been a very busy time. So I'm looking forward to a couple months to take care of some of these other things before I have to dive back into the audit.
And the outstanding corrective actions, or findings from previous audits are
Yeah, all the other,
complete.
everything's been resolved. Even this particular item has been resolved as far as the go forward goes, but there definitely were a lot of issues kind of with the starting balances with the books. And it is what it is. Like we knew it was there. It is a problem that we've had to work to address. And it's still outstanding in the fact that the state believes they owe, we owe this a large sum of money back to them, and we really want to make sure that we don't have to do that. So, until really that gets taken care of, I think once that's done, then I think all of our legacy issues and problems are behind. And I'm hopeful that a lot of that good work's going to continue. Like I said, there isn't unfortunately the business manager did leave, but there is somebody in there temporarily, and I'm hopeful that things kind of still continue in the right direction over the next few months.
Thank you. Any questions, Robin, George? Bless you. Okay. Thank you, Brian. Number eight, municipal refinancing of existing bonds up to $9 million. Discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen.
All right, so without going into the 100 so pages that was in this document, I'm going to tell you a little bit at high level about what this is all about, right? So the city is being asked to authorize up to $9 million in general obligation refunding bonds. This authorization allows the city to refinance existing debt, primarily portions of the 2015 and 2018 general obligation bonds, if and when the market conditions are favorable. So, when we were thinking about this in February, very favorable. If anything, people thought, oh, maybe interest rates are going down. Now war breaks out, oil prices are high, right? So now, actually, with inflation, people are worried, well, interest rates are kind of going up a little bit. I still believe we're in good shape to do this, even with some of the recent uptick in interest rates. However, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. And we'll make that decision when it gets closer to the bond issuance time. Just to continue on with what does this mean, right? This is not authorized new spending or new projects. Simply allows the city to replace older debt with lower cost debt, and save some money. All right. And so what does refunding bonds mean in simple terms? A refunding bond is the municipal equivalent of refinancing a mortgage. So think of it like that way, right? The city pays off higher interest bonds issued years ago, replaces them with newer bonds at lower interest rates. Again, goal to reduce annual debt and total interest costs. So we're not extending out the time with which we're going to pay back these bonds. Really, everything's going to stay the same, but in theory, it's just a lower interest rate. So, like I said, the underlying debt already exists. We're just making it cheaper. So, why does it make financial sense? Right now, we're lower interest rate costs. Interest rates fluctuate, but based on the current conditions, there is a real opportunity to refinance these debts and lock in some savings over the remaining life of the debt. That will produce lower annual debt payments, lower interest paid by the taxpayers. This would reduce pressure on future budgets, free up resources for operations, reserves, or other capital needs, and you do so without cutting services or raising taxes. Again, key, no new projects, no increase in total debt, no increase in tax burden. No obligation to issue the bonds unless savings are confirmed, right? This authorization simply gives the city flexibility to act quickly if the savings meets established financial thresholds. It's also important to understand that, we're timing this with the issuance of other bonds, right? We know we've got a couple million from the referendum that we're trying to draw down and use. We've got the road bonds that have been really on a short-term basis called bands, which is really a note, not a bond. We want to convert those notes to bonds. We're at the point with those where we have to do something, otherwise we have to start paying it back anyway. So we really got to get that bond out for those road bonds, that 3 million. And the WPCA needs a couple million to draw down too, as they continue to work through their new plant and all of the engineering and work that's going on there. So, you dramatically reduce your fees if you do all of this at the same time. So that's why, pushing this now is because, it's really not going to cost anything in addition to all of the savings from the interest rates. The 9 million is the most we could do based on the bonds that are available. So what happens lots of times with these municipal bonds is, unlike some of your other debt where, oh, I'll just pay down more if I want to. You can't do that with municipal bonds. You're kind of locked in. You can either, you have to kind of make those payments until there's what they call a call date. So we're past the call date, so we can take an action on these bonds. But once you kind of lock it in, you're locked in. We can't at that point pay down more if we wanted to. So it is a important action, and it's something that we have to consider and really think through. As far as the savings over the course of the think we're looking about 12 years here, $778,000, which if you do net present value, still $582,000 or 6.5%. GFOA recommends at least 2%, so we're well north of that. Interest rates could change, but they could go up or down. The only other thing that I'm going to talk about with this is if we did what was on call it page two, which really just shows here's the prior debt service, here's the refunding debt service, and here's your savings, right? 32,000 year one, not much savings, and then 5 years after that, and then all this savings from 32 on. And why is that? Why does it look like that, right? It's because years and years ago, when they set up this original bond, they did it in a way where they were paying no principal for many years on most of the debt and just interest. So you see in 2032 where it pops like crazy to 1.3 million. So that's when some of these, some of these bond tranches all of a sudden, well, now you got to pay the principal, right? Up to that point, you're just paying interest. I don't think any of us would do that if this was our own money and our own decision making. We'd want to pay down some principal. We wouldn't want to wait for 5 or 6 years to have our debt service double on us, right? So I was talking with the mayor about before this and trying to smooth all of this out. So maybe we do have to pay a little bit more in the next few years, but what it'll allow us to do is keep a nice steady number for call it 12 years, right? So whoever's mayor or finance director at the time of 2032 isn't stuck with a crisis of where are we going to find $600,000, and you can't refi. Like I said, once we lock it in, we're locked in. So they can't go, well, we'll just refinance and move it around. No, that's not going to happen. So I'm going to do some another scenario where it's a little more, maybe more like 900,000 a year straight for the 12 years. You should still get it. You'll get savings compared to where we are today. But to me, it's solving two problems. It's lowering our interest rates and getting rid of this cliff that's going to happen in 2032, based on what I'm sure was, previous administration's desire to not pay for something today and just kick the can down the road. And well, 5, 10 years from now, we'll worry about it then. Well, 5 years will come quick, and it will be the taxpayers of Derby that have to deal with it, and whatever administration's here at that time. And it's just something that I want to definitely look at and potentially address with this refunding as well. As I said, I know there's a lot of materials. I would ask that it go to the full board. I don't see interest rates climbing to the point really where this doesn't make sense. But that said, I'll certainly have some new numbers at that point and at least two scenarios for us. One where we keep the structure the same and we just lower the interest rates. The other one where we smooth this out so that it's, we get rid of this cliff that's going to occur down the road.
Madam Chair, it's just to augment what the finance director was saying, just to refresh everybody's memory, for those of you that are keeping score at home, this was part of the 8-point plan, the fallacy of all of that. And this very point that Mr. Hall is raising about that cliff was raised at that time because all it did was kick the can down the road and. Ultimately, it cost the city more money because they weren't, as we're paying all this, we haven't been paying down the principal on it, which, as he said, from a generally accepted accounting principle in public financing, that was an irresponsible way because it just put a bigger burden on somebody else in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. If you're just paying the interest and never the principal, it's not how you tackle debt.
Wowza. Thank you, Brian. I'll be interested to see what you can do with the numbers to prevent that 2032, or at least lessen that 2032 and maybe have a little more,
Yeah, and I think the good news is over the last few weeks with the budget, we have found some savings that I think can offset this potential increase in debt in the current year and keep the numbers still pretty close to what the mayor presented at the 1.4% increase. It's not going to be a dramatic impact to this year's budget, and I think it's the right decision for the long term of the city, which is what I think we should be thinking about.
Thank you. Robin, George, any questions, comments?
No, I think that you did a great job on this, and like you said, in 32 is the financial cliff there. But you're going to look into see how, what the interest rates are when it might come down even more. Hopefully, it won't go up. So we could do something, to eliminate the City of Derby's bonding debt. So I'd recommend that we have Mr. Hall present to the full board on April 9th the his recommendations on the refinancing of the existing bonds up to $9 million.
It should be directed to adopt the
No, okay, so
recommend the adopt.
recommend adopt the resolution of refinancing existing bonds up to $9 million to the full board.
Okay, by George. I'll second that motion. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Brian.
All right.
And thank you, Mr. Garfalo, for giving us a little history lesson on where this problem came from.
It's not like they weren't told.
Okay, number nine, police speed cameras, proposed ordinance discussion, and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen and Alderwomen.
All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about the speed camera. I will caveat that the current ordinance in there was a draft that was created by me and my team based on some. What other towns had passed, corporate counsel will have to review it and create his own version for what would ultimately end up going to the board for approval. But as far as just the overall speed cameras and why do we think this is working and what have we done so far with all of this? Because again, there's a lot of materials in here as well. So the approach on this consideration relies on automatic speed cameras, a narrowly targeted enforcement tool authorized by the state and designed for deployment only in locations where objective data shows persistent speeding risk. You'll see in this packet a lot of where the studies were done. So these studies have already been completed on certain avs. The one in front of me is New Haven Ave, Gilbert Street northbound, where you'll see there was on average, in 1 month, 171,000 incidences of speeding above the 10%, 10 miles an hour above the speed limit. 1 month, right? So, and that's in one spot. On New Haven Ave and Gilbert Street, 293,000 incidents above 10 miles an hour above the speed. So we know for sure. Speeding is occurring throughout Derby in these locations. and this is the information that you need. You know, it's just one part of it, but this is a lot of the justification for the state to say, all right, yes, there's definitely a problem here, Derby, and we are going to be supportive of your efforts. You know, this data signals elevated crash risk, and it does justify targeted intervention. Automated speed enforcement allows us to address the risk in a controlled and proportional way. The program begins with warnings, not citations. Drivers are given notice, signage is posted, and behavior is allowed to change before penalties are introduced. In practice, that warning phase is where we see the greatest benefit. In Middletown, which implemented a similar Connecticut-approved program, compliant driving increased by 97% within the first 4 months. So, you know, goal is to change behavior of what's happening. And this is demonstrated that it can change behavior by 97%, which is tremendous. From an operations perspective, the system allows the police department to use personnel more effectively rather than assigning officers to extended speed enforcement posts. Department can address speeding consistently while redirecting officers to higher priority calls, investigations, and community policing efforts. I know talking with the chief, a lot of when you pull somebody over speeding, you know, those interactions can be a little dicey sometimes, right? And they're not no risk interactions. And he was very excited about the fact that his officers would not have to be dealing with those kind of issues, and that something like this could be implemented to augment what's currently happening today. Every automated violation is still reviewed by trained staff or officers before any action is taken, preserving judgment, discretion, and due process. There's long-term costs of not doing anything, right? Excessive speed increases the severity of crashes. Severe crashes carry much higher downstream costs, emergency responses, roadway damage. Programs that measurably reduce high-end speeding reduce those risks. While the savings don't always appear in a single budget line item, they absolutely will affect the city's financial stability over time. Another important advantage of the program's accountability: this is not a permanent installation that operates unchecked. The data allows us to evaluate effectiveness by location, time of day, and severity levels. If speeding decreases and compliance improves, cameras can be relocated or removed. The city retains ownership of all data with strict limitations on its use. That means Derby can use these insights to support future traffic engineering decisions, grant applications, and safety planning initiatives. Over time, the data itself becomes a planning asset. There is no cost to this city for this program. No setup costs. There is no risk that there will ever be any cost to this program. If they roll it out and it's needs to be pulled back, and it just so happens, because basically there will be a cost for just giving out violations to the vendor, but the vendor doesn't charge us until the fines start to kick in, and then they deduct it. And if the program shut down before their, let's say, positive on that arrangement, they waive all of anything that the city was owed for it. So absolutely no risk from a financial perspective. I don't even really want to talk about the dollars, because it's kind of ridiculous that the amount of money you're talking about. And just what we talked about, I mean, $50 ticket, $300,000 a month, $15 million, I mean, in one street. So, but let's just say that $15 million, let's say they reduce it by 97%, and so you only have 3% of that. That's still $450,000 for one street in a month, right? So the money's a little bit kind of crazy. So, who knows? This isn't intended to be for the money. It's really to change behavior. As you can see, there is excessive speeding throughout this city that needs to be addressed somehow. And I feel like this is a efficient way to do it, effective way, very low risk as far as being able to kind of get out of it. But this is just one step. This ordinance is one step. It still has to go before, obviously the board would have to approve it. Then there would have to be a public hearing associated with it. But we would work through all that. But we're just trying to knock out the first step, which is, can we get an ordinance drafted? Can we get approval for that ordinance, and then move forward with the public hearing and some of the next steps? Do we have any questions?
I do.
Sure.
Which one, what towns did you say currently have this in place? Middletown?
Town, for sure. I have to. I could put together some more towns that have been adopting it. It's relatively new, but
the one town I know of is not by experience is Washington, Connecticut. Little Washington, Connecticut. The state road that goes through there made $1 million in probably a month, 2 months, So that's just on their one road. I know New Haven is going to start soon. New Haven's looking at it around the university, around the hospital on Route 34, where they've had several fatalities, pedestrian fatalities. They're going to start pretty soon with their cameras. So I know there's a few towns, but Mr. Hall could get the list. I mean, it's there's more and more towns that are going to this.
The other thing I'm wondering is what's the error rate of this? I mean, we heard about the school bus and the AI, and that to me that makes sense. This act, what's the error?
Well, each picture, right, is going to be reviewed by an officer or somebody that's working for the police department. And then they have to really manually make sure that it checks a couple boxes as far as, ties out to the license plate and registration. So it's not going to be like AI where it's just going to go and we'll see what happens. There is manual intervention that's going to occur to make sure that before, any residents start to get tickets or warnings or anything, it goes through that process.
Please.
The one thing I'd like to say is we haven't reviewed this ordinance yet.
No.
So this is I'm seeing this sort of for the first time when the agenda came out. So obviously I'd like to go through it. If it's your pleasure, I think what the finance director is looking for, not looking to put words in his mouth, but he's looking for a sense of the committee. If the committee is interested in proceeding, then I'll work up the ordinance. Is that sort of where you are?
Yes.
I would like to just, I'd kind of like to take a look through this and do a little more, take a look at the other towns, what they're doing, and get a sense of the community, because I know some people have come to board meetings speaking against. I've heard people in town speaking for. But I'd like to go, just take a look through this, and maybe we'll come back next month and discuss further.
There are some towns and cities in the area that have been going down this road that have adopted ordinances similar to this in some fashion, form or fashion, and they're working up getting ready to go live. They haven't gone live yet. So you wouldn't be the first. That's one thing I will say.
Well, and if it is something that we go ahead with, do we do it in conjunction with something like the red light cameras, or is that part of this? Or do we start with
The
red
bus
light
cameras?
cameras?
No,
No, just red light
the red light
cameras and
cameras. I don't know.
Yeah, this is just purely speeding cameras at this point. I don't know if there's more studies that would need to be done for the red light. I imagine there would be a separate, it's kind of a separate path.
And what is this? Where is this study from? Who did this?
The studies that they did for the New Haven Ave
I'm sorry, who is they?
police.
Our
Or,
police?
yes.
Derby
Yep,
police.
deputy chief.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure he used some, probably a firm or whatever to help kind of track and do this data, but he brought this to myself and the mayor.
And then you wrote the ordinance?
Yeah, well, with the help of AI and some of the existing ordinances that are out there, yeah, we got a draft just so you could kind of see roughly what one's probably going to mostly look like.
So we have done ordinances for other communities. I
Okay.
already see things I would change in here, but I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. All right, I would like to take a look at this. Is everyone okay with at least tabling this to next month? Okay. Can I have a motion to table the police speed cameras proposed ordinance? Is there a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Robin. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by George. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you, Brian. Okay. Number 10. Resolution to prohibit the operation of Zaza Smoke Shop at 49 Pershing Drive, Derby, Connecticut, pursuant to Connecticut General Statute 21A-420C. Attorney Batturla?
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
We prepared this at the request of the Derby Police Department. There is a new state law, 21A-420C, relatively new, that allows a municipality to take action against an establishment that sells or offers cannabis products to consumers without being a properly licensed retailer, and it goes on from there. Unfortunately, for the Zaza smoke shop that is located at 49 Pershing Drive, there is quite a colorful history in a short period of time that we've laid out in the executive summary for the ordinance. On October 8, 2024, 22 pounds of cannabis products packaged for sale were found at the premises located at 49 Pershing Drive, and an employee was charged in violation of certain statutes. On September 23, 2025, again, numerous illegal cannabis and synthetic cannabis-related products were found at the premises, and the employees of Zaza Smoke Shop were charged again, violation of certain general statutes. And then on November 12th, during an inspection by the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection Drug Control Division, 32.55 pounds of cannabis edibles, 6.17 pounds of THC concentrate vapes, and 5.71 pounds of cannabis flower for a total combined weight of 44.43 pounds of cannabis product were found at the premises. And later that day, another 59.2 pounds of illegal cannabis was seized from the premises. So I guess they restocked quickly. Illegal activities continued on the premises into January of 2026, including the sale of illegal cannabis, resulting in the seizure of another 39 pounds of illegal cannabis products. So we have been, first the police department, they were in contact with the property owner. We then sent a letter to the property owner. We were contacted by the attorney. We were assured that they were going to take certain actions to stop this sort of behavior on their premises, and that Zaza was closing down. They had closed down, and we sent the Derby Police Department out there, and they reported right back to Deputy Chief Grogan that no, Zaza's still open. So we went right back to the property owner. The property owner said that they're starting an eviction. We haven't. They may have served them, but it hasn't been filed on the judicial website. In the meantime, this is a new statute. In order for us to take advantage of this statute and to assist our friends at the Derby Police Department, this resolution has to be passed under the statute to allow us to then go forward and sue to force that place to be closed down. We may also be suing the landlord and property owner, although we're holding back on that because they appear to be cooperating at present. So that's it. It's a bad history in a short period of time. I will say that the Attorney General's office was trying to take care of this sort of thing across the state, and they found, I think, that there's a lot more going on than they original than anybody could have predicted in this way, and so that they're interested in having municipalities use the new law to help with it. In May of 2025, the Attorney General secured a $4.93 million judgment against Planet Zaza in East Haven and its owner for penalties accruing for the sale of cannabis products. So there we have it. We've had multiple conversations with law enforcement, with the Attorney General's office, and now we even have the Corporation Counsel's office from another municipality in touch with us because they're having similar problems. So that's all. I would just ask that we pass it with a favorable recommendation to the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, and then we'll get that passed, and then we'll bring a lawsuit.
Beautiful.
Okay, can I get a motion to move to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, with a favorable recommendation to approve the resolution to prohibit the operation of Zaza Smoke Shop at 49 Pershing Drive, Derby, Connecticut, pursuant to Connecticut General Statute 21A-420C. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
So moved by George. Second by Robin. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Okay. Number 11. Can I have a motion to adjourn? By Robin. I'll second it. All in favor? Aye. At 6:57 p.m. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.